1509, and with the Lord's help, the desire to make a few remarks upon tonight, you'll find in the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the fourth and part of the fifth verse. The first chapter in the first Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the fourth and part of the fifth verse. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. All the epistles are written to the Church of God, to those that know those precious truths that the apostles speak of. It's not everyone that is acquainted with the truth of God. It is one of the greatest mercies to know the truth. And the Lord has declared that these elect shall know the truth. He has said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know that the majority of professors reject election, and yet all through the Word of God we see election. We see the Lord taking one and leaving another. And how clear the Word of God is concerning this most solemn and vital matter. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And now in the chapter that we read, the Lord, through the mouth of his servant, makes it very clear. It's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's of him. And we see it, as we said a moment ago, very clearly set forth in his word. We see the Lord calling Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, a most idolatrous nation. The Lord calls him, and he's obedient to his call. He called him to go out, and he directs him. He leaves that idolatrous place. He turns his back upon it. And we read that they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. This is one of the marks of election. For whoever is a partaker of this immutable, discriminating election in the time, leaves the world's deceitful shore and leaves it to return no more. And we see the Lord calling David. his servant Samuel verily thought that when he saw Eliab, that the Lord's anointed was before him. And the Lord said, I have not chosen him. And so it went on. And it, till it came to the very least in Jesse's family. And the Lord speaks, arise and anoint him. For this is he. God's choice. And look at the effects of it. David chooses him. Look at the effects of it. The Lord watches over him amidst all his sins and wanderings from God. The Lord brings him safely through. And all that are elect, and God has to do with them, and they have to do with God. And so we see with the prophets, the Lord calling them from the different spheres that they were in. The Lord anoints them to be prophets. And we see that it's not the wise in this world that the Lord calls, not many rich, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world and things that are not, to set to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so we see with the kings of Israel and Judah, we see this, very solemn indeed it is. He did that that was evil in the sight of the Lord, or he did that that was right in the sight of the Lord, answerable to God. It's not what we think of ourselves. It's not what creatures think of us that will get us to heaven. It is what we are in the thought of God. And what we are, my dear friends, and it's most solemn, in his sight, we are from all eternity. The Lord doesn't change. And seeing that he has an elect people, these were elect from all eternity. Before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ, made manifest in time. Everyone is made manifest in this time state. And everyone are brought to see and know that God has an elect people. As Ruth, the Moabitess damsel, was. And so we see in her case, she was a Moabite. She belonged to a people that had the curse of God upon them. And yet the Lord sees fit in his great mercy toward her to choose her. We see her sister come so far, orphan come so far, as many do. Many will go so far and then turn back. And so we read in the Gospels, from that time, many turned back and walked no more with him. Oh, what an awful thing to have a profession and for that profession to die out. As it must do without the Spirit's work within. Oh, my dear friends, what a solemn matter then this indeed is. And so we see this going on, and let's see the Lord choosing those that should be his disciples. He says to them, follow me, and they follow him. There's no argument with them. They follow him. He speaks, and it is done. He commands, and it stands fast. The same one that spake on earth to the disciples is the same one that speaks from heaven, the same one that still speaks. And these hear. They hear. They hear his voice. They do, because they relate. Because they're his people. And so it was with Saul of Tarsus. Look at him, a persecutor of the Church of God, persecuting the Church of God even to strange cities, an enemy to him by wicked works. And yet in a moment the Lord cuts him down, stops him in his wild career, and not one step farther does he tread in that path of persecution. And we see the case of the woman at the well of Samaria, a bad character. And so all are. And the Lord makes known to her his great salvation. If our gospel be hid, declare the apostle, it is hid to them that are lost. And how ignorant we indeed are of the truth of God. We're just as ignorant by nature of the truth of God as the woman at Samaria's well was. When the Lord speaks to her, as she puts a natural interpretation upon what he declared to her, when he tells her that he whoso drinketh of the water that he should give, it should be in them a well of living water springing up to everlasting life, and that they would never thirst. She said, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She puts a natural interpretation upon it immediately. And that's all the natural man ever will do. Our carnal nature will never rise above this world. And so it was with Nicodemus, when the Lord tells Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He says, how can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He puts a natural interpretation upon it. Nature will never rise above its own level. It won't. We can have a profession, but it will never rise above this earth. Oh, what a mercy, my dear friends, to be brought to solemnly know and see that God has an elect people. And that's what God will show us. If we're his people, we shall be brought to, amidst all the professors and sects in the world, we shall be brought to see that God has a people, and that people are separate from all people. They are different from others. There are people that forsake the world. They are. Elect. Lord, can you remember, sinner, when God brought you to see that God had an elect people? And you didn't know whether you was one or not. A people whose names were in his book written among the living in Jerusalem, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Boy, a sum of, you know, and there's not one name could ever be added to that number. But on the other hand, there's not one name that is in the Lamb's Book of Life will ever be erased from that blessed book. Do you know whether yours is there or not, sinner? I'll tell you what, if you're quickened into divine life, you will be solemnly concerned about it. You'll want to know. You'll want that great question to be put out of question with your soul, knowing the consequences. You'll see it to be most vital. As the poet says, am I his or am I not? Oh, there's not many in a profession of religion that are so concerned about their own soul salvation, but these are. You will be if you're one of these. And you'll never be satisfied until you know. You won't be satisfied until you do know. And so the apostle says here, knowing, brethren, beloved, because they are beloved, beloved of God. They're beloved of God and beloved of the Church of God. And that they are separate from the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. And so this makes such a clear distinction with this people. It does. You see, the time comes with every one of these when they leave the world's deceitful shore and they're joined with the people of God. Ruth says, this people shall be my people and their God my God. So it doesn't matter, my dear friends, whether we're black or white, a bond or free. If we belong to this elect people, there'll be no barrier between us. Because all are taught the same truths. And all are taught the same truths as revealed in the Word of God. And that is how we come to know the truth of God. And if our teaching isn't comparable with the written Word of God, there's something wrong with it. There is. But it will be. We're born of God. It will be. You see, people, they alter, they think they can alter the Word of God, but they never can. They think that they can find an easier way to Him, but they never deceive God, though they themselves are deceived. There's no easy way to Him, only that way that's laid down in the written Word of God. That right way. That way that the Lord leads this people in. That they are led by the Spirit of God. They are led to know the truth of their own solemn state and standing in the sight of God. Are brought to know their sinnership. A That's where the Lord begins to show them what they are and what he is. You know, there's many would argue and say, God is this, God is the other. But the sinner that's born of God, he knows him to be a holy God. He knows him to be the judge of all. And the judge before whom he must appear. And that's how solemn it is to the sinner when he's awakened and brought to see that he has to do with God. And he's brought to know that this God sees him. His eyes upon him. That there's no secret. There's no darkness or shadow of death. And where the workers of iniquity can hide themselves from God. He's brought to see him as a God of judgment who weighs actions. And he's brought to see himself a sinner of the deepest dye. He's brought to see himself and know himself to be helpless. And we don't know how helpless we indeed are until we have striven and struggled to be different to what we were. And how we fail. We are brought to know our own weakness and insufficiency by our failings. We are complete failures, my dear friends. Oh, and you see, we are ready to conclude because we fail that the Word of God is against us. We are ready to conclude because we are brought to see how foolish and how ignorant we are, that the Word of God is against us, and we tremble, we are troubled, we're in trouble, soul trouble. And all the election of grace know what it is to come into soul trouble. There's a lot of troubles in the world that people come into, that the world comes into. This is a world of trouble. It is. Through sin. But how few there are that know what soul trouble is. And we never know what soul trouble is until we are brought to solemnly know we have a never-dying soul. And then we become solemn creatures. Well, we may wish we had never been born, but my dear friends, all that wishing doesn't alter it. We are born. And being born, we stand answerable to God. And so we see the curse of God upon all that sin. And then we fear, you see, that it's us. There's none like us. None like we are. And none so fail as we do. And then we are tempted often, as still as we were at the beginning, that there's none like us. You see, from the time that God begins a work of grace in the heart of these, that work will go on. It will go on. It will. What God begins, he will continue and perfect, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you see, this is the point. The apostle declares it. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. In power. It comes in power to these. At God's appointed time. Comes home to the sinner. Thou art the man. It discriminates. What is taken This is, you see, and it is the Word of God. It is. And it's the Word of God that kills. It's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And oh, says the sinner, what shall I do? You see, it's us. And so God speaks with power. He does. Thine arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under it. There's a falling under it. Now, under the searching word of God, you'll find some will be offended. They rise up in enmity against it. They say, I'm not having that. But there's a falling under it with those that are born of God. But it's a powerful word. You see, it reaches the heart. It does. There's a good people, many people in the world have got a head knowledge. But that will never take us to heaven. That won't help us. But it's the heart. Comes into the heart. And this is where the trouble is. And this is where the sinner is brought. He's brought to see, brought to know. And like David, what a heart he has. A heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? He's brought to see that he has such a heart as this. It's a mercy, sinner, to have the same experience as the people of God in his word. It's a wonderful favour to know the same truths in some humble measure in our own souls. Do you know this? Well, it will be a trouble to you if you know it. It will, sinner. And so it will bring you to be lost to all hope in yourself. All hope, or all help in self. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Oh, and this, you see, the Lord will bring you to this place where you'll call upon him. It was said of Saul of Tarsus, behold, he prayeth. And so we see this with every one of those characters that we mention at the beginning. Every one of them was brought to call upon God. To call upon him from the heart. Were brought to come in secret before him with their case. And these have a case. And if you're one of these, my beloved friend, if you're one of these, you have a case that only God can meet. You have. Only he can meet, and he can meet it. Because there's nothing that is too hard for him to do. But you see, it's a something that's beyond all nature's aid, that exceeds all nature's power, as one of his children expresses. And so the Lord will show you how he can be just and the justifier of an ungodly sinner, and that the world never know. That is the secret that is with those that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. the Lord will show the sinner by his blessed Spirit how he can be just and saved by grace. By grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so the Lord gives the sinner that faith to look to him for salvation. You see, here's a sinner that needs a refuge, that needs a hiding place from the impending storm that will soon break upon the whole world. He needs one, he does. And there's only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. He is the refuge for the lost. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And so this sinner comes to him. He flees to him. He embraces this rock, the rock Christ Jesus, for want of a shelter. And he comes, this sinner comes in all his poverty, and bless his holy and precious name. He himself declared, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's these lost sinners that need him, that greatly need him. It's these lost sinners that have nothing of their own to bring. It's these lost sinners that are destitute. When the Lord shall appear in his glory, he will build up Zion, and he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And the Lord will bring you destitutes to him. He'll make you a destitute sinner, destitute of all that's good. And that's how you have to come. You see, there's something. One of our poets says, oft through pride my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving steel. We would bring something. Oh, but you see, our pride is marred. And we have to come destitute. Come needy. Come naked. Come loathsome. And bear, you can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. And so this poor sinner, he comes with a covering upon his upper lip, like the leper crying, unclean, unclean. He comes to him in this condition. He does for all, for salvation, for pardon. For wisdom, he comes to him, the Lord, for all that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, my dear friends, if you are one of these elect, the Lord will bring you to ask of him. You'll see, you won't see it anywhere else but in him. And you ask him for it, you do. You come to him to teach you. You come to him to guide you. You come to him to reveal himself to you, assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness in my heart that I am born of God. That's how you'll come. Are you one of these? You'll come. And so the Lord will appear. He will answer you. He will. But you see, it's a way of affliction, as the apostle declares here. It's a way of affliction. There's much hard labour. There's much waiting. There are many trials. There have been many things that will come, sinner, in your pathway that will look as if they're dead against you. The Apostle Peter says, the trial of your faith, we spoke of faith, the Lord gives the sinner that faith, and where he gives it, so there will be a trial of that faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto honour and praise and glory at his appearing. And it's at his appearing, my dear friends, and nothing short of his appearing will satisfy this sinner. Won't. As he appeared. Can you look back to a day when you believe he did appear? When you hope he appeared? Then, I'll tell you what, sinner, you want him to appear again. You'll be brought to see more and more of the evils, the hidden evils of your own heart. You will. You'll be brought more and more to see that it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You will. You'll be brought as the Lord reveals your sin and woe, and he'll reveal that all your journey through. You'll be brought that you won't have a stone to throw at any in this world. You won't. The world will humble you. Oh, but you'll feel daily undone, and daily to feel thyself undone will make thee haste to kiss the Son, and on thy knees for pardon sin, to praise and bless and love him too. That's how you'll come. You will, sinner. You see, it isn't a way that it is pleasing to carnal nature. Far from it. Far from it. It's a way that's crucifying to our flesh. But it's a way that leads to end. It is. And Jeremiah declares it is of his mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so the Lord has said, they that seek shall find. And find him. And it's him you want. It's him you want. It's he is the one, the object that you seek after. Yes, if you're born of God, you want him. And it's he that must speak. It's he that must reveal himself. It's he that must reveal his love with power. And so you come to him, you talk to him, you converse with him. And he'll converse with you, sinner. He will. It's not one-sided, you know. It isn't. There may be this waiting. And you'll have many temptations under the hidings of God's face, that this mercy that you seek for is not for such as you, but you'll still go on until he reveals himself. And so he does to every one of his people, sooner or later. Sooner or later he will manifest himself to them. But all the waiting, the looking, how often you say within, when will he appear? he will appear. Because the Lord has said, they that seek shall find. I know the devil will say, you don't seek a light. The devil will all ever be found in fault with your profession. The devil will ever turn round an accuser, because he is the accuser of the brethren that has come down having great power, knowing that his time is short. He comes with his accusations against these. He does. The Lord said, when he was here, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. The devil isn't divided against himself. He don't tempt his own. He don't come with his accusations, I mean, against his own. We know that they're under his power, his dominion, and his authority. That these are not. These are not. The Lord has brought them out of his kingdom, translated them into the kingdom of his dear Son. And being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, they wait for him, they look for him. They want to be under his banner. They want him to be their glorious head. They want to be this blessed people that are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, you see, most are in the place that you are, that is waiting for him, looking for his appearing. Most are. You see, the Lord sometimes, in the beginning, in the early days of the experience of his people, he manifests himself. He reveals himself to them. And they look back on those days, golden days, precious days. And Job did. He said, when he washed his steps with butter, and the rocks poured him out rivers of oil. But he'd come into a far different day for that. He had. But the Lord was still with him. He was. And so the poet says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Where is it? Those golden hours have gone. They are. You see, there's something about us would have heaven here. We would. Oh, but instead of hell. You know, this world won't be your home. It won't. You'll get weary of yourself. You'll get weary of sin. You will. You see, the Lord weans his people. He does. He knows just what to do to wean them. You think it's in his love toward them. You receive the word with much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. With joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, my dear friends, amidst this, all that you come into, you wouldn't change. You wouldn't. You wouldn't change. You see, there's been this joy, there's been a few spots in places in your life. They may not have lasted long, they don't very often last long. When you've had that joy of the Holy Ghost, that joy to know you believe that you was a child of God, and you rejoiced in that. And they're the best days of the child of God in this world, when he has some humble hope in his soul that he is born of God. But for the most part, it's a seeking and a waiting with the child of God. The poet said, why so hasty to depart, so tedious in return? And that is the experience of the child of God. Amen.